of God, she said, one of the people that, and you know, those of us that are closest in front here, we're the most vulnerable, all of you, including me, all of us here in this church, we're all vulnerable. She said one day, this man was saying, that this woman said to her, that said, Bishop, I know anytime you are coming to my house. And the man of God said, how do you know? She said, anytime you are coming, your angel will appear in my house. And I'll say to my husband, Bishop is coming today. She said, anytime, every time you come to my house, your angel will just appear. And I'll tell my husband, Bishop is going to visit us. If not today, he will come tomorrow. And he will just. And when he's coming, he wouldn't know that the angel has gone. He'll just be coming whistling. Woo-hoo-hoo! What's happened? He just, normal. He doesn't even know anything has happened. He just goes casually. Says, do you have fried chicken there? Let me eat, you know. But the angel has come, gone before. The Bible says, from now on, know ye no man what in the flesh. But what? After the spirit. So that you can be blessed. Familiarity, it cuts you off. It cuts you off. You must begin to ask God to help you. It doesn't matter how old Obama is. He's still the president. So I better reposition myself when I go to White House. I help him carry his portfolio so that he can drop one. You have to reposition. It doesn't matter that you went to school with Obama. He's the president. So readjust yourself. Yes. You know, guest ministers come before they sneeze. Amen. They sneeze. Amen. Pastor comes. Say, like now, some people are looking at us. I thought they said the service finishes at 12 o'clock. It's now 12:05. It's 12:05. But when the guest minister comes, same thing pastor has been saying. He hasn't said anything new. Do you know that a lot of times when God brings men of God, women of God, they just come and confirm everything that pastor has been talking to us about. But because we're so familiar, it comes so casual, it comes so simple. We take it for granted. Don't miss. Don't let that. Ask God, deliver me. I've been praying, God, I can't miss out. I can't miss out. I'm not going to let familiarity cut me because these people could not receive anything from Jesus and he had the power. Amen. The next point, quickly, as we fly, wisdom will help you maximize your opportunities. Wisdom will help you maximize your opportunities. 1 Samuel 18:30. I love the scripture. 1 Samuel 18:30. It says, and so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely. Please underline that in your Bible. It says, whenever they went out, David behaved more wisely, highlight it, than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Whenever they went out, the way he behaved, he behaved more wisely, he applied wisdom. Wisdom that was rare. And that provided an opportunity for him, esteemed him. When God brings great people before you, when God brings opportunities before you, you need to know how to behave. You need to ask God to give you wisdom on how to behave when opportunities come before you. If David had not behaved wisely, he would not have been highly esteemed. Wisdom. Esther was placed in the palace. She was a girl that was an orphan, nothing much to write home about. And then all of a sudden, God, elevates her, and she's sitting among princes. She's sitting with royalty. All of a sudden, she finds herself in the palace, in Buckingham Palace. And then they now said to her, Mordecai says to her, don't tell them who you are. Like, why? Mordecai said to her, don't tell them you're a Jew. Don't tell them you're a Jew. You are in that place, but keep quiet. Don't use your mouth. Everything. You just be talking. Some of you just talk too much. You talk too much. That's the problem. Not that God hasn't opened the door. Do you know that if Esther had told them who she was before the time, they would have killed her? And they would have killed. What God sent her to go and do, she would not have been able to achieve it because they would have killed her. They hadn't even, she hadn't even earned their trust. They didn't know who she was. And then she now opens her mouth and says, I'm a Jew. They would just, I'm a Jew. In fact, my uncle raised me and I lived in Shul. And they would just get rid of her. So it's the fact that you talk too much is just some of you, your problem. Some of you, God brings somebody your way. Maybe you're on a date or something, a potential. He's still considering. He's not even decided whether he wants to, whether it's green, amber, or red. In fact, he's still on amber. He's still considering. And he takes you out. And then you begin to tell him all your life history. You begin to ask him, how many children do you want to have? Me, I want to have 3. And then when you want to leave, you tell him, your first date. You talk too much. You reveal everything you've done. And then this happened to me, and that happened to me. And you, by the time the guy leaves the place, issues, 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 baggage. You just spill the beans. You talk, be quiet. Don't tell. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. That's why you need guidance if you're a single person. It amazes me. People get into relationships. They don't ask their pastor. They just go and do what they want. If you don't come for premarital counseling, you come for postmarital counseling. It's not a curse. It's the truth. If you don't come and ask and get and inquire wisdom from people that have gone ahead of you, people, couples that have a good marriage, they can go and ask, please, ma, can you tell me this? What am I supposed to look out for? What am I supposed to? And they can guide you. If you don't come and ask for premarital, we shall wait for you at postmarital. So we can teach you, we can guide you the things to look out for. Have you realized that most people that have guidance during marriage, they end up having a good marriage? But those that hide from their pastor say, why didn't you tell the pastor? Pastor, I just want to inform you, we're getting married next week. Really? God bless you. Yeah. Some of you, that's your problem. Some of you don't know palace protocols. Bible says Esther, when she got there, she had favor. The way she behaved, the way she conducted herself, favor was with her. The door had been opened, but she knew how to behave. She knew the position. She knew the etiquette of the kingdom. She knew how to address people. Do you know, it amazes me that sometimes when I see people, the way they behave, I get really, you know, some things need to be learned. Before I went back for pharmacy, this thing about etiquette is very, very important. Kingdom protocol. If you go and shake the hand of the person you are meant to bow or kneel for, the door of opportunity will close. Imagine Gio comes in here. You say, hi, Gio. What's up? What's up, Gio? Is that what you do? You won't do that now. You don't shake your hand to Gio. You don't shake the hand of Gio. You don't say, hi, Gio. You don't see Gio. You don't do that. No matter how much you just say bless, you won't be able to pray because you've closed the door yourself. Do you know what I was, before I went back for pharmacy, I used to work in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. A lot of people probably don't know that about me. I used to work in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in Westminster. So, Jimmy, I got there before you. My office was right next to Buckingham Palace. And I used to work in a department called the Royal Matters Department. No wonder I'm in King's Court Chapel. Royalty just follows me around the whole place. Hallelujah. I used to work, I didn't even focus on about it, because many, many years ago, over 10 years ago, I used to work in the Royal Matters Department. And so we used to take care of all the households, you know, the household of Prince Charles, the household of the Queen, the household of Princess Diana, all the royalty, we used to take care of their matters. So if there was like a state banquet, whatever, it would be our office that would put it together. So people would write in, you know, if they're going for a garden party or whatever, they get an invite, they would write to our office and we'd be the ones that would teach them what to do. I'd never forgotten about it until I was preparing this message and the Lord, you know, began to bring it back to my memory. And we would teach them. They would say, when we get before the Queen, what do? We say, when you get before the Queen, you don't shake, you don't stretch out your hand before the Queen. This is in the United Kingdom. It's not a culture thing. The point I'm trying to say, some of us say, it's not in my culture. Learn it. You don't shake the hand of the Queen. We tell them, this is in UK. It's there, documented. We tell them, when you go there, you approach the Queen. She will, first of all, if she wants to shake you, she'll stretch out her hand. Then you stretch out your own. When you get before the Queen, you have to curtsy in United Kingdom, or you bow if you're a man. When you get before the Queen or before Prince Charles, you don't talk except he talks to you. You don't get there and say, hi, Fresh Prince, what's happening? Say, really? You don't do that before protocol. You don't talk to the Queen of England except she talks to you. We tell them, when you get there, this is how you address her. You address her as Her Royal Highness. You address her as, we even tell them how to pronounce it. I focus on that. We tell them how to pronounce it. We say, you pronounce it ma'am. Not as in, you pronounce it like you're saying jam. Not madam. You say ma'am. And we write it, we spell it for them. So that this is how you pronounce it. Because if you go and pronounce it as madam, you offend her. It's the Queen of England. We tell them, when you get there, you approach the Queen. You don't turn your back on the Queen of England. It's documented. I worked in the department. When you approach the Queen, you go back like this. You don't turn your back. And some of us just approach the King of Kings anyhow. You say, we can come boldly before his throne of grace and obtain mercy and all. And you don't approach him. You don't come with reverence. You don't approach him. Yes, not with fear, not with trembling, but with reverence. If the Queen of England, you have to go with reverence, what about the King of all Kings? Hallelujah. Palace protocol. That's why I'm always on this, guys. And you must learn it here. I'm always on Jimmy's neck. The teenagers, I don't want it. You don't see pastor. Hi, pastor. To your pastor. Teenagers, you don't do that. Even us. It's not right. It's not right. That's not the way to. You won't address Gio like that. So don't address your pastor like that. Hallelujah. Protocol. Protocol will help you retain the doors that God has opened for you. The last thing, problems. Problems. What problems? We define opportunity as time and chance. The Chinese define opportunity as dangerous. They actually spell opportunity as crisis. That's how the Chinese spell opportunity. They spell it as crisis. And crisis in the language means dangerous opportunity. That's why the Chinese are just flying in this economic recessal. They are having a ball. They know how to manage crisis. So what is a problem for the United Kingdom has become, an opportunity for the Chinese because they are prepared to solve problems. What problems is God going to bring your way this month? Inside that problem is an opportunity. The Bible says everything works together for good. Every single thing. That marriage that you are crying, God, save my husband. God, save my wife. This marriage. Inside that problem, that marital problem, is an opportunity for you to become a marriage counselor. To begin to counsel other singles. Even if you are divorced, inside that problem, you can write book on dating, on how to get it right. Inside that problem, you write the book and the next thing, they are interviewing all over the world on dating and relationships. It was a problem, but it's also an opportunity. You have an unruly child. Inside that unruly child, that rebellious child, is an opportunity to become a prayer warrior. It's an opportunity for you to learn about parenting skills, to begin to tell other people how to bring up their children, begin to tell people how they can pray for their children. Whatever problem you're going through. Joseph, what did he do? Solved a problem. Next thing, a door was created for him and it was brought before the king. David, what did he do? Solved a problem. Goliath was a problem. He said, give him to me. I'll deal with him. And that was what opened the door for him. The Shunammite woman, focus. What did she do? She noticed. I noticed that this man, there's a problem here. Let us do something. A door was opened for her. What doors of opportunity is God going to open for you this month? What problems are around you? What is it that you've been complaining to God about? Ask the Lord to begin to open your eyes. You don't have a job. What about your other talents that you have? What about the other abilities that you have? The skills that God has given you. The thing that he has put in your hand that can bring more money than that 9-to-5 that you are running around to do. So, God, I have a problem, no job. God says, but I've given, you have something in your house. May the Lord open our eyes to all the opportunities that he's going to bring our way this month. So, as I round up, I want us to begin to pray that this month, rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. I'm really out of time. I'm out of time. Pastor has decreed this month the month of opportunities. So I am so assured that opportunities are going to come your way this month. I said opportunities are going to come your way this month. Begin to pray for yourself that God, open my eyes because the opportunities can come your way. And if you don't even know it's an opportunity, you will just treat it casually. Begin to ask the Lord to help you to recognize and to see the the opportunities that God will begin to bring your way this month. Ask the Lord to help you, that you will not miss your opportunities. Ask the Lord to help you, to give you wisdom, to relate accordingly, even when those opportunities come your way. Whatever it is that you need God to do, just begin to speak to Him. You know what area that I touched this morning that pertains to you? Just begin to ask the Lord. Say, Lord, let me not miss my opportunity. In this month, oh God of opportunities, let me not help the opportunities that you will bring my way. Help me maximize those opportunities, oh God. Help me not miss the helpers that you will bring my way this month. Holy Spirit, baptize me with wisdom. Give me the keys that I need, oh God, to be able to harness, to be able to maximize those opportunities that you are bringing my way. Begin to pray for yourself that you will not miss your opportunities. You will not miss the opportunity that God will bring your way this month. And if you are here, you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus, you have an opportunity to give your life to Him. All you have to say is, Pastor,